This is day 3 of the November 2016 7-day retreat in the Springwater. Bird call, a quiet, a clearing. Still some shade in the floor, looking at the sky early, full of cloud, but still some windows to the blue sky, filtering light. Somebody was saying, everything changed, but takes memory to say, which is fine. Yesterday was a sunny day, and we can add, if we don't like the overcast and prefer the days in the sunshine, we can feel kind of not as bubbly and happy. You know, looking how the thinking kind of affect the body, feelings, emoting, just watch it, not criticizing or judging one thing is better than the other, because that would be falling again into this divisive consciousness, this living in a dream-like world with concept, storytelling, emoting, going like roller coaster with one emotion turning into another one, trying to kind of figure out, fix it, change it. That's what the mind does. That's what we're used to meet this kind of, that can be painful experience. So yesterday in the group, we're looking at anger, how we repress anger or have repressed in the past and now is being expressed, and then somebody kind of question and suggesting anger is a secondary emotion, and finding out that behind anger can be hurt, and if you go farther in the investigation, looking or whatever, you find fear. And then you can even find that you lose control. And that's where the anger kind of... I'm just repeating what I heard. I may not read well the words, but And then was in the air, kind of, at least for me, kind of wondering. And somebody echoed that in the group. So who or what controls everything? Not quite remembering precisely how it was phrased, but what I kind of perceive is that, and I will add this, so the investigation, the wondering, the curiosity, why are you stopping in anything really, and keep the whole thing open, and the person saying, not knowing, but an openness that is alive, that is full of curiosity and interest, even warm. So who is expressing the anger, or who represses it? It's like if the inquiry kind of end, then there is a closing up, isn't it? You just check it out. So the big elephant in the room hasn't been even, we haven't questioned. So who is that entity, apparently, that can control, that suppress, that express, that can dig in and analyze and find out what is producing what? And it's a wonderful thing to keep, to go in these layers, not brushing anything away or out as this is a psychological way, so I won't go this way. Not that, not even naming and putting a title, this is a psychological way. And so who is choosing? Again, the question. Who is deciding what is psychologically and what is not? I don't know if we can hear already two, you know, a division. And somebody in the middle kind of deciding and pulling things apart, fragmenting, that is a word. I don't have any answers, and I don't know how to proceed, and truly I don't, looking right now. But what the facts are telling me right now, that there is no place to go, that the starting point, if you will, is the end, right here, right now. The means and the end are the same. And trust. Trusting this moment is necessary. Not a thing, but kind of being willing to stay with the insecurity, with the fear, the anxiety of not knowing how to proceed. and touching that and wondering. And it's amazing what life can reveal when that curiosity takes over to the impulse to immediately rush out for answers, for ways to control or wanting to control. I have seen it here. Just the grain, which is just to say one, not even one, but when that spark of light and trust, which there isn't a stopping, a pause, then we can, the perception is kind of clear up without doing anything. We're talking about change yesterday. You know, how the perception shifted the same situation, but now there is more clarity of what is going on. Come to mind, it may fit or may not, but it's coming. In a meeting with a friend, we sat, we kept some quiet, and the person started describing what in that moment was observed. And she said, here is an emptiness. And not as I am saying, was more beautiful than that, because it was a real careful kind of sensing, feeling, looking, and kind of saying, maybe this word I don't usually use, but fits now. So you could see, you recognize that there was, you know, a caring energy in kind of using word that can describe what was seen, and you can feel it also. You know, it's no boundaries. And she proceeded kind of saying, but at the same time, it's an emptiness that feels full of warmth, in which things can be seen. There was going slow, and as time went by, whatever, some tears began to stream in the face, and sharing that the memory came of a father that was near to death. But you could see that was all there, the clarity of the memory. The father was not dead at that moment, but you could see the link, and the tears, you know, some authenticity in the whole thing, one, a wholeness. Everything was clear for what it is. Nothing was rejected or kind of praised or make something out of that, but very, very simple. Very simple. Very humbling. So, that's it. the possibility is there. Now, I won't explain what I... It just speaks for itself. There is a space for everything. And there is the transparency that reveals links and how the flowing was, I say, beauty, the releasing. And then, moment later, we were kind of smiling and looking at other things, was forgotten. You know, like the person saying, everything changes. But the mind wants to stick to one thing, or two, or many. So emotions. And I wonder if there is this curiosity, this openness, and we can discover about emotion, let's say anger. We was an emotion that myself also was not allowed, you know, had some should and should not in the head. You know, I shouldn't feel the anger. So it was kind of, we can call it, dismissing, repression, not being touched, lack of touchness, because of all this mind stuff, command that when they are not seen, they really, we are victim, really, from this kind of, I don't know what to say, like, imaginary life that I am like this, like that, and all what Sandra history, with the pains and the joys and my accomplishment and my failure. But for me it was very interesting to, you know, not that I took it in one day, one moment, but the curiosity opens up space to see how the anger really was not repressed, was coming in many ways that wasn't even aware. You know, ignoring, playing kind of cool, trying to be nice. So it was a range of discovery. What repression really meant. But then, not stopping there. And when anger came flowing unexpectedly, there was a feeling of righteousness. I kind of like it. And it stayed for me for a while, feeling that, you know, I can no longer suffer from people that are with great authority wanting to humiliate you. Now I can get back to you, fight the authority, trying to become even, because it was painful to feel humiliated and this and that, but didn't end there. It was so complex. But then really touching what get hurt or angry or fearful. was like a poem for me, meaning a puzzle that really grabbed me. Once Tony came to me and said, "Sandra, why do you get hurt for anything so often?" And she wasn't expecting an answer, and I didn't give any either. But a spark, I wasn't completely aware that this was going on, but I was as a staff here at the center and, you know, being in relationship and issues. I got hurt and I got angry. I'm wanting to impose my idea and this and that, all what takes, you know. Nothing wrong about, but was very interesting. And it's a lifetime job. It's not you see it one and it's done. These are strong conditioning, especially this fear to die, to disappear. What happens if I don't control anything? You know, many ideas. Those are ideas. You know, I'm going to be annihilated or humiliated. So, where my ideas are going to go? They won't force anything on my way of doing things if somebody questioned them. It takes a lot of energy to keep this structure. It's exhausting, sickening. I cannot say enough. I got sick from that. Big panic attack. Panic of what? Of dying. You know, the fear of losing control. Amazed me. And I have a lot of compassion, respect when I see here, there, whatever, caught up in this web, sticky web. Because it's not their fault or my fault. And it's not in their capacity or my capacity to put an end to it. So realizing that is very humbling, because there is a spark of light that opens up, revealing that there is no choice but to be the whole thing, whatever that is in the moment, anger, fear, and wonder about. And in this wondering and beholding, you can really get to know it, not from the head, but which include, you know, because the body is memory. Very familiar with the shortcoming, you know, some problems that are very still strong in my life. So I'm very careful, acknowledging the conditioning that plays here. And at the same time, respecting, meaning giving a space when anybody, but it has to start here. Because the space we give to the other, there's no other. You are giving it to yourself, you know? It's one thing. What comes to mind is one person. I don't know if it was the same or somebody else that said in a private meeting, I always felt it that I needed to read this book of myself, I am Ari. That I needed to really familiarize myself. Why I react in this way or that way. So what? I think it's beauty in all this. In this work that is not mine, I think I started the retreat with the work of openness, in which there is no goal or expectation, but we can see all that. So it's a work that goes directly to beingness, being the guiding light, moment to moment, that will reveal to us the true nature of everything, and that will take care of everything, really. It's like the whole value system has been screwed up. That's how I experience. And with this light that reveals, so we begin to see what is essential. Like I was sitting in the balcony before the talk, and I began to see what very quiet, the bird, the locust tree, the green, beautiful, you know, feeling as the person was describing, a warm, and began to bubble up memories of anything. And not relating one to the other. Little storyline about this. And then quiet, and then another random thought. And no connection, incoherent. Just like the mind, the system kind of doing its own clearing. It's not necessary. And many pieces of memory, like my time in Nicaragua, you know, was amazing, all connected with me. But I kind of, you know, brought a smile. And I say, this is what we really kind of value. Not that is, I am saying, doesn't value, but sometimes we overvalue because we feel that we are that. We are what we think. And our ideas and whatever. I don't need to say more. So was clear without words what the essential really is. And it's true for all of us. And from this, from here, we can watch all the things that come and go, as the person was saying, and see that they are, they come and they go. They don't have a life of its own. So we don't need to attach ourselves to any. Because every time we do, when it goes, there is suffering. Oh, now I don't have the peace that I had a moment ago. It just just this. Breathing, short, whatever it is, the light coming strongly, a thought, a sensation, everything is okay. Whatever comes, we can just watch, aware, awaring, somebody was saying yesterday, and it's not you. And at the same time, yes, you are. There is a body here that is listening, that is called Sandra. Not to confuse that. But what I mean is this sticky, a feeling that there is, somebody said, witness. The word witness can be tricky because can bring a feeling that there is somebody watching. But when that feeling goes, and there is just coughing, like cocoa, what the person was saying, chopping vegetable, what was the fear? At the moment of chopping, and the mind was not engaged in the memory of the election. But the moment, the next moment maybe. So the person was saying, was love when the shopping was taking place, which took over, love took over the fear. And the person even saying, when I think about the election, fear arises. But it's completely okay. And then finding out that that can go away, you know, as this coming and going. And love is right here, not there. Love, emptiness, warm, space, whatever name we put it, is available for all of us. So I will end it here, but I would like to say that tomorrow I won't give a talk, but Susan will give a talk. And wanted to say a few words about her. She's beginning, she has several years, I think, holding retreat together with Wayne, giving talks in all day sitting. And next year, we are going to do a retreat together in September. So I feel that, and she has been doing this work since the beginning. She came even earlier than when I did. So So it's good to hear another voice. So I will end the voice here.